Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Excuse me, could you tell me what you think about Christopher Beanland?
Moron.
He's an absolute idiot.
I don't know, thinks he's funny, isn't really.
He jilted me at the altar. Twice.
Lazy. Doesn't even sound like he's from Yorkshire anymore.
Problematic. Bearing all these things in mind, Parkdate would now like to announce that Christopher Beanland will no longer have any involvement in the show. So please do accept our apologies and enjoy the show with someone who definitely does not sound like him.
Welcome to another edition of Park Date in Los Angeles. I'm here in Beverly Hills Park by the Beverly Hills sign, as made famous in Beverly Hills Cop. You know it's Los Angeles because there's a helicopter going over. I saw a comedy night on a hotel roof the other night, and a helicopter flew very low, and the comic goes, you know your set is bad when you're getting heckled by a helicopter. It was Dana Moon. She's very funny. Today's episode features Razik Ralph and his son Alexander making a special appearance. Talking about Raz is, that sounds a bit strange, Raz's quest to save the monarch butterfly in Los Angeles. It's super interesting. You're going to love it. As always, if you like Park Date, do subscribe and follow the socials at Park Date Podcast. Enjoy this episode. Okay, welcome to Beverly Hills. I'm going to do the intro now while Raz is tying his shoelaces and Raz's son is looking at this art. What is that?
I don't know. I thought it was a love heart, but now it's just a blob.
Yeah, sort of a weird blob.
With some debris in it. You know, I'll never understand modern art.
What is it? We're here at Beverly Hills Park by, on the corner of Rodeo Drive and, what
Wilshire.
Is this?
Wilshire.
Wilshire. Or is it Santa Monica? I'm not sure.
Whatever.
One of the... It's a long road.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles. Yeah, Rodeo Drive over there. Mm-hmm. Famous for shopping.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
And robberies.
Is it?
Yeah, recently so.
Does that happen?
Oh, crime is rife in this city, Christopher.
Really?
It's rife.
What? Hold on. A very unequal city. You're telling me there's crime? I've never believed that.
The distance between the haves and the have-nots has never been greater.
It's true. It's true. Alex, come and say hello. So this is Raz's son, Alex. This is
our microphone.
Podcast microphone.
Hi.
Whoa, that was loud.
You were quite close then.
We'll have to get that in the edit. Alex, what do you? We went to look at the Beverly Hills sign over there, didn't we? Did you like the sign, the Beverly Hills sign?
Yes.
Yeah. And you saw some tadpoles in the lake, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you manage to touch them? Did you pick them up?
No.
It's probably for the best, isn't it?
They were cool though, weren't they?
Yeah.
I'll get your own tadpole one day.
Yeah.
Until then, we've got tadpoles at home.
Have you got a tadpole?
No.
Living in the bar.
I mean, it gets cleaned enough times for that to happen.
Yeah.
Infrequently enough, I mean.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, so we're in Beverly Hills, Beverly Hills Park. You've never been to this one before, have you? I certainly haven't.
I think I have stopped off in front of the big Beverly Hills sign many years ago to take that iconic photo. Like,
exactly.
I've landed, I'm here.
Beverly Hills. Yeah. What is the most famous thing about Beverly Hills? Obviously...
The cop.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah. I took a moment on that trip. It was back in 2008, my first time in LA, and I did go to the police station, the Civic Center, and had a walk around.
Can we stop there on the way back?
You can, but I do have to point out that even back then, 14 years ago, I did get stopped by some policemen and they asked me what I was doing there.
Right.
I think they might be even less friendly these days. Just, you know, that's the narrative that we're following.
But surely if you say, I'm a big fan of Beverly Hills Cop, I love all police films, then they just invite you in and you could go and take photos.
Or at least like just a shot in the leg, you know.
Rather than in the head. Yeah. Or one of those beanbag rounds.
Not all police are evil.
No. And well, that's what Beverly Hills Cop shows us. That's like the heroism of a cop transplanted
absolutely
into Beverly Hills. Yeah. But yeah, so this park, right? We're sort of by road. You can hear a bit of traffic, but then in the park, sort of divided into these zones. I saw a bit further down there was like some desert.
Who are you talking to?
A newcomer to the podcast game.
Who am I talking to? And Alex, that's actually a very pertinent question because the answer could be no one.
Or everyone.
The world. Depends how many people. Look at this TMZ celebrity tour.
Oh yeah, I've ridden.
Can we go on that?
I've ridden that bus.
Where do they take you?
All around the hills. I saw Ben Affleck. Actually,
on the tour.
He was like,
"I want to see Celebrity 2000."
He was in a car next to the bus, and so he waved and drove off quite fast.
That's so funny. And I was reading about the history of the hotel where you just kindly picked me up, where they filmed Argo. They filmed it in the hotel.
What a segue!
Yeah. Did you talk to Ben? Did you say?
No. He was
probably like, "Leave me alone."
Yeah, he was like.
Driving to the supermarket.
Just one of those quick waves and then face straight ahead and drive off. Great.
Where else do you go on the TMZ celebrity tour?
It was a long time ago, Chris.
I want to know.
It wasn't that interesting in the first place. it picks you up like in the heart of Hollywood and takes you up into Beverly Hills and down here where we are in Rodeo Drive. So all the hot spots.
Yeah.
Shows you where
people
live.
Houses,
houses.
That probably annoys celebrities, doesn't it? When like
I would imagine so. Yeah,
buses of foreign tourists are driving up by their house, but then that's what you get for being famous.
Yeah, it's rude to suggest that it's part and parcel of getting paid millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars. But you know,
that's what you take.
But
So we're in the park here. There was a lake, the Beverly Hill, famous Beverly Hills sign, and then we have some. Outdoor art, some sculpture. This kind of thing that we were looking at looks a bit like a heart or something.
Yeah, I'm sure it
like
means something. But there's a plaque in the front that we could read if we so chose.
Yeah, I mean, we could read about it. We could just wildly speculate and
isn't that
look down our
art?
Noses at it.
Isn't it a point of art to make us think?
It's about the subjectivity of experiences.
And
it's
wonderful that there is freely accessible art. We didn't even have to pay to park our car.
Yeah, what can you get for free in LA? Though we were talking about public transport the other day.
Yes.
I don't think I told you, my 1 week Metro card cost $12.
Yeah.
That's a bargain.
It's a bargain.
In this city, $12 for a week's worth of free underground and bus travel.
Yeah.
What was that, Alex? We're talking about art. Alex has got a Day of the Dead colouring book here, which looks very, very cool. There's a skull on the front and, lots of cool colours. He's
having a moment, that's okay.
He's lying down. And to be fair,
no better place for it.
The position that Alex is lying in now, with his eyes closed, looking like the world is on his shoulders, is the position that I adopt when I'm editing. Trying to edit the wind noise out of this podcast,
it's a mild breeze.
Yeah, there's a little breeze, but in my ideal world, there would be no more wind.
Should we find shelter? Should we hide behind those windbreakers there? That SoCal.
They've so kindly. They have actually provided windbreaks. Should we go over there in case you're making a podcast? Let's do it, shall we? We'll get the. We've got Alex's colouring pencils in his colouring book, so we'll. We'll step over there. Yeah, you're right. They've provided a windbreak for
us. The wind is blowing in an easterly direction or westerly direction, I forget.
Yeah.
Wouldn't know that from a four-year geography degree.
I was going to say, how many geography experts does it take tell where the wind is coming
from? I've got
a
BSc and an MA, so that's three between two, and we still can't figure it out. So that's great. I feel confident in the schooling system.
Do you ever navigate by the sun?
No. This 2022. I have a mobile phone.
You know when you come out of an underground station or something like?
Yes.
You could think, okay, right. It's what time is it now? It's like 3 o'clock or something.
No, I've always.
The sun's over there, so you know that's west.
I've always been rubbish at that.
Really?
Yeah.
Raz's son has just vanished.
He's running around.
He's come round.
Okay, hey, stop there.
We'll make sure Alex doesn't disappear.
Yeah, please.
That would be a bad end to the podcast.
we've lost
Alex. Talking about geography, right? Let's get into while we're sort of talking about park stuff, Raz. Mm. Let's talk about the butterfly project that you've been doing. So you moved to Glendale with Stella, and now you're of course a family man.
Yeah,
and so in your local park, you were sort of looking at butterflies and. Like how to protect them from extinction and their habitats and stuff, right?
Yeah. So the monarch butterfly is, they've suffered a 99.9% decrease in their population.
Right. Which is very high. I don't know a lot about maths, but that's a very high percentage.
I would say they're close to extinction. They've been close to extinction for a while.
Yeah.
And so it's been among engaged. Conservationists, they/we have been planting these way stations, which are monarch butterfly habitats, because they only eat milkweed, which is a specific plant.
Which is what you had in the car.
I did. Yeah, I picked up some more this morning.
You got some in the car, right?
You know, this is a lifestyle, not a holiday. And but
where'd you get the milkweed from?
This was from the Arroyos Conservation Society. They do some really good work, conservation work across all habitats, including and not limited to monarch butterflies. But yeah, it's really good. Like earlier this year, the federal government designated monarch butterflies as endangered. Finally, saying out loud what we've all known for a few years now. But that's good. It's meant there's been more action.
Yeah.
It means that there's more money going into it, and a lot of it needs to be on a large scale level, like industrial farming, for instance. They need to be told to plant an acre of milkweed to help it along. But I also believe in individual action. You know, the Bernie Sanders method of, you know, getting $5 from 100 million people, that goes a long way, you know.
Exactly.
And the same thing, like if every single person planted some milkweed in their back garden, or my mission, if I can get every single park in the greater Los Angeles area to plant a butterfly garden, that will go a long way.
Yeah.
So.
And that's kind of that journey that you're on at the moment. So you started off with, was it called Glendale Park?
No, my local park is Adams Square Mini Park.
It's a tiny
little park, just at the bottom of my street, but there are, I want to say 80 parks in Glendale. So I want to start by getting a little butterfly garden planted in every park in Glendale.
Yeah.
And then see what other places in LA want to do that. You know, I think it's a big challenge. But I think it's also doable, you know.
Absolutely.
And I'm planning to cover the butterfly gardens in every park in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Alexander's going to take it one step further. He's going to just one-upmanship in the Ralph
every
household.
Every park in the world. I think that's a great idea. Come on, Dad. You're only thinking about one district of LA. Your son's saying, let's do everyone in the world.
Yeah.
I think that's a great shout.
My fault for thinking too small, I suppose.
Yeah. Is that a butterfly habitat you've got there, Alexander? Can they live there?
Sure. How to shrink down to this size?
Yeah.
There are a lot of challenges,
with
though.
With this size.
You have to be smaller.
There are a lot of challenges.
Getting it done, right?
Getting it done
is the hard thing, isn't
it? That's the thing.
So what does it involve then? You get like a section of park, and then you plant the milkweed into ground or planters or
Directly in the ground's ideal. So you've got to have 10 plus milkweed plants, and then the same number of like pollinator plants, because that attracts the same kind of insect basically.
Yeah.
And then it's very water wise, which is very good for California being in probably the worst drought in its recorded history.
We're in a desert, basically.
We are in a desert. We're in a desert which is very heavily populated, and people who...
It's not really what we should have done, is it? When you think about it, it's not really what we should have done.
But human nature is to have their settlements on waterways. London, the Thames, Paris, the Seine, etc. Like, you look all along the Danube and look all the big cities along there, like Cairo, etc. It's normal to be on a fresh waterway, and so we've got the LA River and the Colorado River. It's a big basin, and it's also a lovely climate. So it made sense that this would have a high population. But what was not wise was creating a culture narrative that lush green lawns are the way of high status. We just saw that the desert garden, the cactus garden over there, that's what we should have.
Exactly.
There is a move to financially motivate people to rip out their lawns and put in a water-wise garden, which is great, which is great. And maybe we can add a monarch butterfly garden in there as well,
For sure. You could encourage people to do it in their own gardens, right?
Exactly, yeah, very much so. And I do. And since the habitat was planted in Adams Square Mini Park, people have got in touch with me directly and said, what can we do? It's like, plant your own, get someone else to plant their own, and get that waterfall of monarch way stations happening.
Yeah. You know? Has anyone been in touch saying, we hate the butterflies. Why are you doing this?
Funnily enough, no. There's no downside to it.
Remind us why butterflies are so important, Raz.
They're pollinators.
We forget that, right? Yeah. We think of the bees, right?
Absolutely. The bees had a big moment a few years ago, didn't they?
Well, arrested development, of
absolutely. Absolutely. So but they're in the same bracket as bees. Bees and butterflies, they hang out, except one will sting you. I've never been stung by a bee. I don't know if I'm allergic. This would be a great moment for that to happen.
Have you not? I have.
Never been stung by a bee.
It happened once to me.
My dog got stung by a bee and...
Cindy.
Yep, Cindy.
What did Cindy think about being stung by a bee? She was not happy.
She vomited a lot and almost died is what happened. It was we live to tell the tale.
Right. Sounds like me on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, quite, yes. No. She's allergic to bees.
She's allergic,
We know that now.
She's allergic.
We inquired about whether we should have an EpiPen for her. Mm. But they said, that's something you could do. And it was like, $2,000. Like, you know what? Let's see if it happens again.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
That is so much.
I know where to take her.
So yeah, we need butterflies. They help, you know, to maintain the food system and they make the
air look prettier. They literally fly through the air.
They look amazing
at eye level. Yeah. And they make the air prettier.
Yeah.
From nothing to a nothing filled with butterfly.
Yeah. You need some kind of like slogan or something, don't you?
That's the slogan. They make the air prettier.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Yeah.
It's quite abstract. Does need some explanation, but.
No, I like it.
I'm happy with it.
I like it.
They make the air blue.
They make the air blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they blue? They're not blue, are they?
No, they're red.
Are they red? Yeah,
they're red and black. They look like red admirals.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're very.
What are red and black?
The butterflies.
Butterflies. Well, they're orange and black, aren't they?
Yeah.
But yeah, they look like red admirals.
Yeah.
So that's great.
So you've been... So yeah, basically looking at all the parks in Glendale, then perhaps looking ahead maybe all the parks in LA.
Yeah.
And it's doable, right? Like these kind of, you know, micro projects.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot of funding or a lot of space. Mm-hmm. Like you can do this, right?
It was very cost effective.
Yeah.
The main problem I have is getting in touch with Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec. Now this is my favourite part of the story. Me and Raz were talking the other day. Like, when was it? 2 days ago. We were in Barnsdale Park, and Raz was like, "Yeah, I am actually in touch with Glendale Parks and Rec."
Yeah.
I love that Parks and Rec is a real thing.
I'm really proud of that for myself. That I can.
You are the Leslie Knope.
I'm the.
I love it when she says like. When she's trying to create the park, and she goes, "This is going to be my Hoover Dam."
This is my Hoover Dam.
The milkweed is your Hoover Dam.
That's my Hoover Dam. Absolutely.
Yeah. The irony, of course, being that dams like the Hoover Dam were one of the things which have kind of created one of the problems we're in.
Yeah.
In LA, like taking the water from like other
Colorado River,
right? Colorado River and other states, like canalizing the LA River, which of course, you know, people might remember from movies like Grease and
Terminator 2.
Yeah. They're riding along the. Big you know, it looks. I remember seeing that movie. I was like, "Where the hell is this? Mm-hmm. It's a real place."
Yeah,
that is the LA River. They've like concreted it. Not so good in floods, obviously.
No.
And yeah, we've kind of like.
Color actually is that color?
Fantastic. Is that the color of the butterflies, Alex? The orange.
He's copying the colours from the front.
Onto the skull.
It's kind of nailing it.
Yeah. It's looking good.
You're doing a good job.
It's looking good.
I'm looking forward to seeing the eyes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, this is something that could potentially like.
This could be my legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll get the Nobel Prize for Butterfly Whispering. My unofficial title at the moment is the Butterfly Man. Of Glendale.
Right, I thought you were going to say Butterfly Whisperer.
No, the Butterfly Man of Glendale.
I like that. Is that what it says in the local paper? You've been in the local rag, haven't you?
I have been in the local rag.
What's it called?
The Glendale News Press.
Right, the equivalent of, you were in the Ilford Recorder, I'm sure, back in the day.
Well, my mum is more recently, because she has the...
For gardening, we were talking about this, weren't we?
The number
best
one...
Best garden in Redbridge.
The number one container garden in the London borough of Redbridge.
If so, East London listeners, have a look out for Mrs. Ralph's garden.
Yeah, if you step on the RDG tour bus, they'll take you around to all the best gardens and Maybe you'll see my mum waving at you as you drive past. Who knows?
In the borough of Redbridge.
Take the 366 from Ilford.
What, Ilford Station?
Yeah.
Okay, 366. Then you're on your way. What's the stop?
There's a little route, a little loop around Redbridge. So it goes up Redbridge Lane East and down Falmouth Gardens and stuff.
My granny is number 11 on what?
Oh, no, she's number one. She's always number one.
Number one. Yeah.
Don't give the house number.
I was going to say, I think there might be GDPR issues with that, Alexander.
What house number is she?
Number 13.
Yeah. Oh, she's number
13. Yeah.
Well, if we...
Unlucky for some.
Yeah, well, unlucky for her if people listen to this in proper house, but...
Oh, she'll invite you in for a cup of tea.
Yeah.
You want to talk about watering flowers.
It's all good. I don't know if you agree, Raj, like, parks have kind of had this, you know, sort of problematic history. I was in Central Park a few weeks ago, and they're very unnatural, right?
They are.
Sort of looks natural, you know, like this one, there's grass and trees, but it is a man-made, we should probably say human-made environment. But do you think, like, parks, are we more into, like, natural parks now? Like, letting the environment kind of be more natural, like, less managed?
I mean,
do you know what I mean? Creating the habitats, basically not lawns and stuff, right?
I think what we were just talking about before, people, like, the incentive to rip up your lawn in LA, like, LA Department of Water and Power will give you $5 per square foot to rip up your lawn and plant a water-wise, more natural thing.
That's really interesting. Will they give me $5 to rip up other people's lawns?
I mean, it is absolutely a business that many landscapers work into their schedules. Absolutely. They're like, you're going to get this much back, so we're going to charge you this.
Right.
So it works.
Well, no, but that's really interesting, though. Yeah,
because
you see, I remember, like, flying... I remember flying... The first time I flew, I think, to Vegas. I was flying over Vegas, and you see the unnatural landscape.
Yes.
It's a desert. There should not be these, like, lush green lawns, and you see all the sprinklers going.
Palm Springs, Coachella.
Palm Springs. Yeah, right, exactly. You go to Coachella Festival. In Palm Springs, they, you know, go to a cafe, they spray the air with water.
Yeah.
So they're just wasting all this water to keep you lovely and cool.
Yeah.
I say waste. It's lovely.
It's perfect.
And I very much enjoy being sprayed by it while you're having your mocha or whatever in 100 degree heat.
It's a very bougie middle class thing class thing to appreciate. But yeah, like back to like the parks thing. It's like you say that these are man made, and I won't buy into that completely, because a lot of these are what's man made are the buildings, and so what they've done is plan around existing wilderness.
How old do you... Well, there's a quite a big tree here. Do you know much about trees? I always felt like I should do some research for this podcast.
I don't know enough about trees.
How old do you reckon this tree is? This tree looks very old to me.
It looks old enough. Like,
this hasn't been planted for the park.
Definitely over 50.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, like, that's been here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So calling this man-made is kind of a disservice to this tree.
Yeah. Sorry, tree.
So you should, but like,
but you know what I mean. Like the way it's kind of manicured. It's like Central Park made me laugh when I was reading about the history of that.
Uh-huh.
How, you know, they kind of like made all these fake lawns and they brought everything in, and also displaced African American settlers and stuff like that. It was a bit of a shady, history.
It is.
When are we gonna go back to the hotel?
You want to send Chris home? I understand.
Yeah.
That. Many have said this before.
No.
Alex is saying what everyone listening is thinking right now. Have we gone on a bit too long about parks? Alex, are you enjoying this? Are you enjoying this so far? So you're going to be able to listen to this.
Yeah.
In a few weeks' time,
maybe in 1.5 speed.
Yeah. 1.5 speed. You'll be able to listen to you and your dad, and hopefully some other people will as well. Do you ever listen to podcasts, Alex? No.
No, really.
Captain Underpants at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Captain Underpants.
Weird Al did the theme tune, so I'm not minding listening to the soundtrack at all. It's Andy Grammer is another one, but yeah, this is, you know.
Yeah.
Fun and games.
But yeah, so this, I mean, you know, you think about the monarch butterfly, right? I'm sure there's other. Maybe other types of butterflies, other endangered species.
Oh, of course.
You could kind of maybe use this as a model for like other Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Are there animals, are there insects, right, that are in danger?
The way I look at it is everybody latches onto something. Mm-hmm. There is something in danger, endangered for everybody. Yeah. Endangered stuff for all.
Raz is rapping again.
But if everybody does take an interest in saving something, then there's a fair chance that everything, most things, will get saved.
Yeah.
But it's also quite easy to feel apathetic.
Yeah.
Because there is so much stuff going to the wolf.
Yeah. Exactly. But then you I guess you sort of focus on what you can do.
Yeah. Like
you can, rather than what you can't do. I think that's that's the thing, isn't it? It's like what can you achieve? And one thing I was thinking about earlier, actually, while I remember.
Yeah.
Obviously, like me and Raz met when we were doing music journalism back in the day. There is, isn't there, that you can see a lot of people who are in music who've then kind of gone into things like conservation and charity work.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bob Geldof was doing.
Yeah.
Band-Aid, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But is it Fergal Sharkey who talks about like water, water quality in Britain, and things like that?
Mm.
I wonder if is there something in that? Maybe you could do a benefit for butterflies. You could get
the music to
Hell is for Heroes to come and do a show in the park.
soon, Alex.
I promise.
It's very boring, all this, isn't it?
I love that.
Yeah, I think music people have always been quite, you know, on the activism spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like it's always there, like, you know, the whole ethos of punk. You know, the aside from the style of music, the actual ethos of punk is trying to make things better for everybody.
Yeah.
So you know there is that that left wing philosophy, that is associated with artsy people. You know, it's not always true. Of course, you do get right wing people who create art. Of course,
yeah.
But the activism, and if you've been in a band, you've already worked quite hard at making something and building something, and so you try to transfer those skills. Like, you know, we're getting to LinkedIn territory right now, transferring your skills to doing activism on a broader scale.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. It does make sense.
Yeah, definitely. And these things are so important as well. Like, I think we're becoming more aware of these things we've seen, like temperature rises and, as you say, droughts here in Southern California and all the other...
It's 27 degrees today.
It's so beautiful and sunny.
It's almost November.
It's incredible. Obviously, climate change is a bad thing. We don't want it. However, it's quite nice and warm. So there is that.
I mean, it was, you know, it was genuinely 40 degrees in LA this summer.
Yeah, which is too hot.
It's too hot.
Well, I was saying this to you the other day, wasn't I? I was like, oh, yeah, what's it like? And you were like, in the summer, you can't go out.
No.
Yeah.
That is an extreme weather event for 3 months.
And you get wildfires as well, don't you?
Lots of wildfires.
As Smokey warns us about, he's one of my favourite...
Yeah.
Favourite things about America, Smokey the Bear.
Smokey the Bear, yeah.
Yeah, warning you about not having a cigarette in the forest.
Yeah, it's a terrible habit.
Yeah, smoking weed in the forest, whatever. But yeah, those things can cause like a big problem. But yeah, it's I think what we're doing is great, Raz. I like it.
Okay.
And what is the habitat of monarch butterflies? Are they just in California? Are they anywhere else?
There's the western monarch and there's two, the east and the west coast, basically. But they all end up in Mexico.
Right.
They all winter.
For the holidays.
But they winter.
In Tulum.
They winter in Mexico, yeah. Right, they winter in Tulum.
That's what I like to do as well these days. It's too cold here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are two types, and they funnily enough, need different species of milkweed.
Yeah.
So if you plant the milkweed you find in Florida and California, it actually kills, it can kill the butterflies. So that's...
So you have to be careful. Right.
That's a fun one.
Oh, my God. Get the right milkweed.
Yeah,
so you need to know. That's quite an annoyingly specific problem, isn't it? It's like... Here is a plant.
There's a dude that's just got his bum out on the street.
Oh dear! What? That's not allowed in Beverly Hills.
No.
Why did that guy just moon?
That's a $400 fine. Maybe a night in jail.
Well, I dread to think.
Excuse me, officer.
Is there a celebrity living here? Because there's people like gathered outside this house.
It does seem like it.
I wonder who it is.
Yeah.
We'll have to have a look.
Excuse me, who lives there?
Yeah, who is that? Okay. Right, we'll wrap it up, but I'm going to ask you one last thing, and then I'll ask Alexandra as well. What parks are some of your favourites that you remember from when you were younger and that you've liked going to here?
I think that's a good question for both of us. Cause,
yeah, what kind of parks do you like, Alexandra?
Palmer Park is our local one.
Yeah.
Nibley Park's a great one.
Yeah, that's in North Glendale.
What's good about Nibley Park, Alexandra?
Well, just I like going to there after school because all of my schoolmates are really always there after.
They're always
school.
There.
And you like running up and down the wall at the back, don't you?
That sounds cool.
It is cool. You know, the wall that you climb up and run along is very it's very narrow and quite dangerous. But as parks should be.
So, yeah, exactly. They've become too safe. Where did you hang out when you were young, scally?
Clay Hall Park.
Shout out to IG10 Massive.
Oh, it's IG4.
IG4 Massive.
That might be a different postcode.
I just started a postcode? Postcode war there between IG10 and IG4.
The gangs are very, very placid in IG.
Right.
Usually just drinking a can of Foster's by the river. Yeah. The river roading.
Roading.
By Redbridge Roundabout.
Yeah.
No.
If you don't know someone who's died on that roundabout, you've...
What's that? That's dark.
It's a very dangerous roundabout.
It is very dangerous.
That is the reason why I came back.
That dog's
the dog.
You. But it's nice to have dogs.
That dog looks quite friendly. Was it not friendly?
It's very fluffy.
It was like...
Was it chasing you?
Alex
is just impersonating the dog, which I think is very accurate.
I do not like dogs lurking me.
This summer, we went to Clay Hall Park, didn't we? Back in Redbridge.
When you were in London. Yeah, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
They've got this really, really awesome tea shop there. We got ice creams from there quite frequently. It's great.
Amazing. Right, let's wrap it up there. Let's get back in the car
and
stop for our photo at Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills PD. Razzy Ralph and Alexander Ralph, thank you so much for talking to me today. Have you enjoyed it, Alexander?
Yeah.
Excellent. Have you enjoyed it, Raz?
Very much so, Chris. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Cheers, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Park Date. There's lots more where that came from, and there'll be more in the future as well. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review, good or bad. Make them funny. I'll be reading out the best ones, and there'll be a prize for the one that makes me laugh the most. Name check some trees in your reviews and leave them wherever you get your podcast from. Check out our website, parkdate.co.uk. And if you see me walking around in the park, come and say hello. I think that was the sound of someone sneezing. Yes. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Coming up on the next edition of Park Date, I meet Britain's most unlikely troop of Morris men at HMP Pentonville. So do stay tuned for the next episode of Park Date.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.